It was the part of the service that he dreaded, when the congregation stood to bow their heads. He was well acquainted with that guilty feeling, and the echo of the words the preacher said. So many times he declined the invitation for Jesus Christ to cleanse and set him free. But today he made his way down to the altar, knelt down a sinner, but stood up redeemed. Calvary wins again, alleluia. Calvary wins again, amen. There's still wonder-working power in the blood that covers sin, alleluia, Calvary wins again. As long as there is life, there will always be a struggle, a tug of war between the right and wrong. And for everyone who makes their choice for Jesus, Satan has a plan to stop salvation's song. But the Holy Spirit still draws souls to Calvary, and the power of the cross still saves today. And for every time a sinner meets the Savior, I believe the hosts of heaven rise to say, Calvary wins again, alleluia. Calvary wins again, amen. There's still wonder-working power in the blood that covers sin, alleluia. Calvary wins again. Calvary wins again. Alleluia. Calvary wins again. Amen. There's still wonder-working power in the blood that covers sin. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's great. Appreciate that, Brother Tony. That might be one of those songs that we sing throughout eternity together. That's super. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Are you comfortable this morning? It's warm up here, but generally it's usually cooler on the floor. But I know it's hot outside. Bring it in hot air. Anybody cold this morning? Okay. A couple of always will be colds. Amen. And anybody warm? That means you're just right. Uh-oh. Okay, we have fans going, Brother Joe. Would it help to lower it a degree at all? You think would that make us cold? Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it be. We'll leave it be. But I just want you to be comfortable this morning. It's been hot, hadn't it? Mercy days. So somebody, you know, this Indian summer, I asked that question. I said, well, Indian summer doesn't happen until after the first frost. So this is the devil's summer, amen? And that's what this is, mercy. Let's stand together in honor of God's good word. We're not going to read all the text because we're going to be in the first nine verses here. But let me read the first four verses with you. In fact, would you join me? What time is it? For sake of time, let me just read here a couple of verses, all right? Actually, beginning in verse number 3. Just follow along. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So I want to speak to you on the subject fellowship and full joy. Fellowship and full joy. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that Calvary won in our hearts. And Lord, thank you for every time a sinner trusts you as Savior, Calvary wins. Thank you that even regardless of what happens in individual lives, Calvary wins. It was your plan, and in your great redemption plan established before the foundation of the world. And so we rejoice in the good song that just, Lord, blessed our hearts. Now, please, come in power to help us concentrate on the Scripture, the text, and may the Holy Spirit be here to illuminate, enlighten our minds and hearts. We come with a ready heart, open heart. Now, Holy Spirit, would you please do what work you do through the text, through the speaker, so that all of us can be helped. And I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. There is something very factual about being an eyewitness. Okay? That's someone who saw something happen, and that person becomes a very credible witness. What they observed was seen by them personally. Okay? If there is an accident, one of the first questions that those who come to investigate are going to ask, are there any eyewitnesses? If there is some incident, if there is a robbery, if there is some altercation, they want to know, were there any eyewitnesses? Why is that? Because their testimony carries a lot of weight. It's not hearsay. It's being an eyewitness. Now, John, the beloved apostle, begins his first letter. Now, this is different from his gospel, okay? He begins his first letter. He's older now, okay? Older. And he begins his first letter by establishing his credibility. He's going to be speaking about things that are very critical. And so before he does that, he needs to establish or wants to establish his credibility. Look at what he says in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. That makes him a what? Eyewitness. And which we have looked upon, and even more than that, we've not only heard him and seen him, been an eyewitness, our hands have touched him. Of the Word of Life, capital W, who's that speaking about? Speaking about Jesus Christ. Okay? For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. I'm an eyewitness. And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That eternal life. Jesus said to Philip in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's an eyewitness. It's critical what he's going to write about. So right away he establishes the fact that he was an eyewitness to who or what he is going to write about. Okay, now look at verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. I've heard it, I've seen it, eyewitness. That ye also may have fellowship with us. So John says, one of the reasons I am declaring these things unto you is so that you might have fellowship with us. And look at verse 4. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. All right? Then he says in verse number 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So I said, I'm writing to you. I'm an eyewitness, ear witness. I'm writing to you so that you can have fellowship with us and with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, and so that you can also experience full joy. That's what he said. Your joy may be full. Now, I'm not going to go into a long talk this morning about the subject of joy. I mean, what is joy? You know, and you heard enough, those of you that have been saved, if you're new to Christ, new to salvation, there is a difference in happiness and joy. Okay? A lot of times happiness is based on external circumstances. Joy is something that you and I experience within. It's so important. Okay? So John says, I want to talk to you about these important matters. I was an eyewitness of these things. I want to talk to you about fellowship and full joy. So here is this very important matter of fellowship coupled with joy. Fellowship, companionship, a mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. That's what the word fellowship means. You know, people say, well, it means two fellows in a ship. Well, you know, you can have two fellows in a ship that aren't real friendly. Ask Jonah. Amen. They threw him overboard. It's more than just two fellows in a ship together. It's companionship. It's a mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. And people, fellowship is a vital part of the Christian walk. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the church there in Jerusalem, okay, just getting started, continued steadfastly in fellowship, Luke said, the writer of Acts. Continued in fellowship. But I want you to also notice the verse says, not only did they continue in fellowship, but they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The apostles' doctrine created the apostles' fellowship. Their teaching, their belief, what they believed about the Word of God, what they believed about Jesus, okay, especially. It was a mutual association of people on equal terms. And because they believed alike and behaved alike, they could have fellowship because they were on the same terms doctrinally with each other. Listen very carefully. It's not possible to have biblical fellowship with others who are not on equal terms doctrinally, especially when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. Especially when it comes to the doctrine of salvation. I remember years ago, there was an organization called Promise Keepers, and they were putting a lot of pressure on churches to be involved in that. And a fellow showed up here one Saturday morning after bus meeting to try to get us as a church to cooperate with other churches in the area. And I wasn't real familiar with Promise Keepers, and he was trying to tell me all about it. He said, you know what Promise Keepers is, right? And he had a little logo on his shirt. And I said, well, I know a little bit about it, but not much. He said, well, it's an organization of men, and we're getting together. We're breaking down all barriers between race and religion and doctrine. And I said, that's my problem with what you're doing. And he stopped. And then he got mad. He said, you Baptists are all alike. I said, thank you. You Baptists are all alike. And he started yelling at me in my office that was up here. And those know where Brother Cardenas' office is now. He said, you and John Marvin, y'all are all alike. Brother Marvin was pastoring over Grace Baptist at the time. And evidently, John Marvin wasn't going to participate in Promise Keepers too. So he started yelling at me. He turned red in the face. And I'm sitting there. I'm astounded. I'm stunned. And I said, time out. Just call me. I said, time out. You evangelicals accuse us fundamentalists of being mean-spirited and ugly. You're standing in my office yelling at me, turning red in the face. Goodbye. Amen. And he left. Folks, you can't break down doctrine between Baptists who believe the Bible definition of salvation and others who believe you pray through Mary to get saved. How are you going to break that down? You can't do that. You can't break down doctrine. You can't break down barriers between us who believe in a literal resurrection from the dead and other churches in the area who claim the resurrection never took place. You can't do that. Okay? So, you know, it's not possible. Doctrine, belief, behavior, so forth, is what creates fellowship. And the Bible says when you have good fellowship with us, John said, I'll talk about more about that in just a minute, and God the Father and Jesus, you have full joy. So I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of fellowship and full joy. We're going to start the first part I want to call this part right here, full joy. Full joy. Number one, let's talk about full joy. Fellowship creates full joy. He mentions fellowship in verse number 3, and then right next to that, verse number 4, with the word and, a conjunction, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. So fellowship, good fellowship, creates full joy. And I want to say this about fellowship. Did you notice that it involves a Trinity? Fellowship involves a trinity. Look again, John writes in verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." You say, well, he's writing to, let me tell you who he's writing to. The King James Bible is very accurate in their usage of pronouns. You ever know that or not? The Old English, okay, the TH pronouns in the Old English are singular. The Y pronouns are plural, meaning all of us. Let me give you an example. John chapter 3, verse number 7, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. "Marvel not that I said unto thee," that's singular, TH pronoun, "thee," one person, Nicodemus, "ye must be born again." Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, but his message was to everybody. He said, "Don't be surprised, Nicodemus, when I say to you, everybody must be born again." Now you change that, you change the meaning of what Jesus told Nicodemus. So now, John is writing to first century Christians. Look at what he says, "that ye," again, the Y pronouns are plural. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." That's everybody's got to be born again. So John said that ye also, John's writing the first century Christians, but he's also writing the second century Christians, third century Christians, 13th century Christians, 18th century Christians, 20th century Christians, 21st century Christians. He's writing to us. This applies to us. "That ye also may have fellowship with us," with John. Wow. With those other apostles. Yeah. With people who've lived before me. I believe the writings of the Word of God. I believe the Scripture, and it affects my behavior. And I have a mutual association with John and with Peter and with Luke and with Paul. And we're on equal terms with each other. When I adhere to the doctrines of the Word of God, I have fellowship with those who've gone on before us. I have fellowship with you. I have fellowship with these men who penned the Bible. John said, "Your fellowship, that ye also may have fellowship with us." And then notice, it's not just with John. Look at what he says in the rest of verse 3. "And truly our fellowship," that's all of us, John, you, me, "our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." There is a Trinity in real biblical fellowship. It's triangular. Look, you know what creates fellowship between me and, just pick anybody here, between me and Mike? I don't know Mike, okay? I mean, Mike comes to church here driving through his truck and stops in. But you know what creates, when we greet each other, Mike, there's a fellowship here between you and me. You know why that is, folks? Because it's triangular. It's not just me and Mike. It's the one who brought me and Mike together. It's the one who made us brothers in Christ. So my fellowship was with Mike, and his fellowship was with me, but my fellowship is with the Father. His fellowship is with the Father. It is a Trinity. It is triangular. This is why, Brother Gellis, you can travel halfway across the world to Madagascar, and you can meet born-again men and women who are part of the family of God, and there is a bond there. There's a tightness there. There's a kindred spirit there. There is a fellowship there, and it's not just what brings you together, it's who brings you together. Who brings you together? I think it was that Brian Sharp years ago pointed this out in us about all this. You know, man has been trying to force the races to get along with each other for years, tried to legislate unity between the races. You know, we say races, there's only one race, it's the human race, with the different ethnicities. So now you whites get along with you blacks, and you blacks get along with you Hispanics, and you Hispanics get along with you Orientals, and you Orientals get along with you whites, and you whites get along with you Hispanics, and you Hispanics, you get along with these. And here's how you do it, and you're going to make you do it, and you're going to have... There's a simple way for red, brown, yellow, black, and white to get along with each other. That's when they all come together in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in this assembly we have red... I don't think we don't have it red anymore. Okay, Indian. Well, I'm like 1/16th Indian. Any of you, 1/24th Indian, or some of you, a few Indians? Okay, yeah. All right. So brown, yellow, black, and white. We probably got ethnicities all over, different ethnicities all over, and we have good fellowship here because our fellowship is with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. It's a triangular relationship. It's between us and Him and us and each other, us and Him, you and Him. That's what creates the fellowship. In a local church setting, it's not what brings you together, it's who brings you together. Jesus is the source of our fellowship. It's a trinity. It's a triangular relationship between each one of us and Jesus Christ. That's why an unbeliever, an unsaved person, cannot have true fellowship in a local church. Now, they might enjoy themselves. They might have a good time. They might enjoy hearing Brother Luco with that voice saying about Calvary wins again. They might enjoy that, but there's no real fellowship and full joy because an unbeliever is not on equal terms with God. An unbeliever is not on equal terms with Jesus Christ, but saved people clothed in the righteousness of Christ are on equal terms, and that allows for fellowship. And that fellowship creates full joy. Full joy. I don't have time to develop this morning, but I go a little bit further. I really believe that full joy is experienced not just when you're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you're in good fellowship with a local New Testament church. How many times do you read where Paul said, "I can't wait to come and see you. I want to visit you that I may be with you. I want to be with you." Folks, there's something about the fellowship of a local church, an assembly of born-again, baptized believers. We believe in Christ. We've trusted Christ. He's the one that brought us all together. Now, many of you are my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and the joy of the local church assembly. Full joy is the result of good, unhindered fellowship with God and with each other. That's why I could not believe it. Because written on my page right here are the words that we sang for the first song. I had no idea the song Tom was going to start the service off with, and he just followed the schedule. And what did we sing? What? A fellowship. What a joy. Divine. Divine makes it special. Divine makes it rare. Divine makes it wonderful. And brother, that's why, you know, look, I mean, this is all I'm going to say on this. I'm convinced the New Testament is more than just about believing right and behaving right. I'm convinced the New Testament is about belonging right. And you get in, you get saved, and you become a part of a church, an assembly of born-again, baptized believers, and it's Jesus that brings us all together, and I have fellowship with Christ, and I have fellowship with you because you have fellowship with Christ, and fellowship, and we're all in this locality, this same locality right here within the four walls of this assembly. What a fellowship! What a joy divine. Full joy. Full joy. There was a day when I drugged myself to church. There was a day when I dreaded going. There was a day when I did not want to go. There was a day when I was forced to go. There was a time when I just hated it with all of my heart when I was lost. But after I got saved, that all changed, my friend. And somebody said to me this morning, "Pastor, you always seem so happy on Sunday mornings." Well, you know what? Once in a while, it's a put-on. Because I'm human. But I would say that 90 to 95% of the time, by the way, I didn't know that the fellow who told that to me this morning with a big smile on his face totaled his vehicle this week. I would never have guessed that. He had a big smile on his face. 95% of the time, I can't wait to get here on Sunday. Ask my wife. I have a certain time that I leave the house to go pick up Colin, to bring him in, to ride the bus, and I got to wait for that time. And she says, "You're pawing in the valley. You're pawing in the valley." I can't wait. This to me is fellowship. This fellowship. I love it. I get excited. Full joy. full joy is created by the unhindered fellowship that John was talking about between believers and God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And when you come together, there's just this wonderful... You just say, well, Pastor, if I can't get to the local church, does that mean I can't have fellowship with God the Father? No, didn't say that. Does that mean I can't have joy? No, I didn't say that. I said there's something special about the joy that comes from the fellowship of a local independent... Local New Testament church. That's what I'm saying. Full joy. Now, let's go on here to the second thing. Let's go on here. Number two, I want to talk to you about hindered joy. I want to save myself some time, so I'm going to move. Hindered joy. Look at verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Hindered joy. Broken fellowship hinders joy. Broken fellowship limits joy. Broken fellowship steals joy. Robs it. The kind of joy that the Bible's taught. Not the kind of joy that you experience when you get a bonus at work. Not the kind of joy that you get when something good happens. Joy comes, full joy, from good fellowship with God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and with each other and with these men, those who've gone before us through the writings of God's Word here. Full fellowship, full joy. But that full joy is hindered because of broken fellowship, which happens because of sin. Happens because of sin. There is a hindrance to full joy. And that hindrance is sin, because sin breaks the equal and friendly terms that create fellowship. People... Friendly terms. Do you understand the book of James talks about Christians who are living in sin and talks about those who are a friend of the world, walking in the ways of the world, are the enemies of God? That's powerful wording. Full joy is limited, is hindered because fellowship is broken when we sin. Verse 5, he said, God is light, and in Him is no darkness. Not at all. Light is often synonymous for holiness. Darkness is often synonymous for wickedness. God is all holiness. There is no wickedness. There is no darkness in God. None. Salvation places a person on friendly terms with God and Jesus Christ, and fellowship is enjoyed, but that is broken when we walk in darkness, regardless of what we say. Did you see the wording there? Look at it. If ye say, verse 6, that we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Folks, you say, what are you pointing? Over the years, I have had more than one saved person tell me, a saved person who is living in open sin, tell me, hey, Pastor, everything is okay. I'm fine. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm fine. I'm okay. Absolutely not possible. Absolutely. You say, well, they said, if we say, oh, I'm good. And look, I know you may not agree with how I'm living, but I'm good. I pray. That's what I get so off. You know, I still read my Bible. I'm good. I got good fellowship. John said, you're a liar. I didn't mean to break it to you so bluntly, but that's what he said. Look at what he said. We lie and do not the truth. No, look, you're not good. You're living in open sin. You're not good. No, 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 no. Absolutely not. How much praying, how much, generic praying? Oh, bless the missionaries, bless the food, help me have a safe day. Amen. No, you're not good. The Bible says you're not good. John said that is impossible. It will not happen. You cannot, a believer, listen, a believer cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God and other Christians and full joy. Won't happen. Joy's robbed, fellowship is broken. You know, talk like that reveals a careless attitude towards sin. But when we understand what sin does to our relationship with God, we will not, our fellowship, I should say, with God, we will not have a careless attitude toward it. Sin breaks our fellowship with an Almighty God. Now, thankfully, sin cannot touch, now listen very carefully, sin cannot touch my position in Christ. Amen. I'm in Christ. But sin can touch my condition as far as fellowship goes. So sin can't touch my position in Christ. As I was teaching in Sunday school this morning. Man, our salvation is complete and full in Jesus. Past, present, and future. But the condition of our fellowship, sin hinders it. Sin breaks it. Sin tears it down. Sin can't touch my position, but it can touch my condition because it causes broken fellowship. Paul said in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Why? Because if you have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, you can't have fellowship with He who's in the light. You can't hold hands with both, folks. I'm going somewhere toward the end. Give me a little time. Don't be on equal and friendly terms with wickedness. Romans 13:12. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Why? Because God's in the light. In Him is no darkness at all. And I'm not going to hold hands with that which is dark and hold hands with that which is light as far as fellowship goes. Not going to happen. Can't do it. Fellowship is broken. Anybody who says, and by the way, I don't know about you, but I need to be on equal and friendly terms with God. I need His help. I need His blessing. I need His favor. I need His comfort. I need His power. I need Him. I need what I get from the fellowship I have with my Father. But sin breaks that. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, as long as my position in Christ is okay, I'm not concerned about my condition. People who make that kind of statement probably never were saved to begin with. Because the reality of a full and complete salvation do not give you and me the motivation of, well, now I can just get away with everything. It gives us the motivation of, what can I do to please Him who gave me this full and complete salvation? Saved people who live or walk in sin experience broken fellowship. And after a while, you know what happens to saved people who break fellowship? Real chastening sets in. Real chastening. Because if you're a child of God and fellowship gets broken, He's not going to just let you go without... Oh, no. He scourges every son whom He receives. Fellowship involves a Trinity. Not only is fellowship with God broken when we walk in darkness, but fellowship with saved people is broken as well. I was asked by a friend in a distant state to reach out to one of his children, married children of his own, a young man in his own right, a young adult. I won't give the age. And because this man is a friend, I tried to reach out by phone. There was no answer. He said, my son is living in sin. still with his wife, but he lives in sin. I said, would you reach out to him? Because he respects you. I said, sure. Then I was going to preach about 10 miles from where this person lives. So I texted and said, going to be in the area. Would like to have breakfast with you, such and such. Great. Would enjoy that. Where do you want to meet? He chose the restaurant. We were there. 7 o'clock in the morning. He got there. We howdied for a little bit. He said, you didn't ask me to come here to talk about this. I said, no. And he got into it. And he knows that he's doing wrong. And he knows that he's in sin. Tears welled up in his eyes. He told me, I have deep feelings for the other woman. Let me tell you something, folks. What he's got is just temporary. It is not true love. It is lust. He's exchanging the joy of fellowship with God and his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ for the temporary pleasure of a temporary relationship. I said, would you go to Eufaula, Oklahoma? Y'all remember Eufaula, Oklahoma? Has that home for men with their families? I called Brother J.R. Brother J.R. jumped on it. I called the boy's dad. I said, pray. Brother J.R. and the boy talked. That's been some time now. Nothing has happened. A choice has been made to continue on in darkness. It's not okay. It's not fine. And even told me, I really miss church. Sure. That's where full joy and fellowship with God and His people. And you're sacrificing it for a stinking relationship that's not going to last. No joy in this young man's life. Oh, he laughs a little bit with his children, I guess. Probably laughs a little bit. But there's no joy. Y'all with me this morning? There's no joy. And regardless of what he says, I'm okay. I'm getting along all right. No, you're not. You're lying. Well, it's a judgment for you. I didn't make the judgment. Christ, God did. Fellowship is broken when we walk in darkness. Walk in sin. It hinders our joy because the full joy involves fellowship, not just with God, with each other. Walking in darkness, walking in sin, breaks the fellowship with God, breaks the fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and robs your joy. You got full joy, you got hindered joy. And now number three, let me just talk about this. This is where I really want to drive home a point this morning, is maintained joy. Are y'all with me so far? Amen? I appreciate your attention. Maintained joy. Look at verse number 7. He continues to write here, but now we say we have fellowship with Him, walk in darkness. That's just a lie. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if I've got good fellowship with God the Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, I've got full joy. So fellowship and full joy is maintained through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now those who walk in the light, walk where God is. Because God is in the light. God is light. And the joy of fellowship is experienced, and it's the blood of Christ that maintains that fellowship. So here's where I want to end this morning. This is where I'm going to draw it all the way down to where you and me live, okay? Because I doubt this morning there's very many here just living in open public sin. But is open public sin the only kind of sin that hinders our fellowship? No. Our attitude towards sin is the critical element in this matter of fellowship and joy. If you and I live with the attitude of humility that results in confession, confession of our sin, asking God to forgive us, asking God to cleanse us, agreeing with our attitude toward confession reveals our attitude toward sin. Look at verse number 8 here. I'll explain what I'm saying. If we say that we have no sin, now he's talking about saved people, not lost people. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Don't answer this out loud. What is your attitude toward the matter of confession? And I don't mean to a man. How long has it been since you had a prayer time that included confession of sin? That's what I'm asking. Well, I just don't feel like I've done anything that merits having to confess my sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now you say, well, does that mean you're not saved? No, the big entire picture of the truth of salvation isn't close to us. It isn't real to us. It's not meaningful to us. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? You know, here's what... Look, some people say, wait a minute. All of my sins have been forgiven in Christ, past, present, and future. You just said that yourself a little bit ago in the sermon. Our salvation is full and complete in Jesus, past, present, and future. So if all of my sins have been forgiven and they're all, you know, they're all in Christ, you know, why do I need to confess my sin? Well, that's true. All of our sins are punished in Christ as He hung on the cross. Past, present, and future, all of our sin was placed upon Him. As our judge, God forgave us all of our sins when we got saved. And we'll never stand before God the judge and be condemned for our sin. Right? Where is that judgment? It's called by name. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. You say, I thought it was the judgment seat of Christ. That's not a judgment of sin. It's a judgment of works. As God the judge, since October 15th, 1975, my sins, I trusted Christ. God forgave me my sin, gave me full and complete salvation. Sin, past, present, and future, was paid for in the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. I will never stand before God the judge and be condemned for my sin. I don't have to worry that much about dying and going to hell. But at salvation, God the judge became somebody else. He became my heavenly Father. And fathers and sons have fellowship. Judges and guilty people don't have much fellowship. But the father and his children have fellowship. When I sin after salvation, I have harmed, I have injured, I have wronged the relationship I have with my Father. And folks, basically what I'm saying this morning is this. If you and I don't have a regular time to give to confessing sin, we live in broken fellowship. And God's gracious enough and God's merciful enough to be good to us even when fellowship is broken. But friend, there needs to be a time in my walk with God, a time in your relationship with God where we stop and say, Lord, Sometimes we know it right away. Sometimes we say things, do things, act things, and boy, the Spirit of God says, wrong. And we say, God, forgive me. Aren't you glad you don't have to run to a church and crawl in a booth? Aren't you glad you can stop right as you're driving the car, as you're in the middle of something, and the Spirit of God says, that was wrong, and that's sinful. You can immediately say, you're right. And that's what confession is, folks. Confession is agreeing with God. You're right, Lord. That's wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The if is not on His part. Sometimes we pray like we have to beg Him to be true to His word. The if is on our part. If we confess, we admit, we say, God, this is wrong, forgive me, I'm sorry. And folks, there ought to be a time in your prayer time when, you know what, you say, Lord, I am sure there are things today. What the model prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our trespasses. That's a part of daily praying. Now here's how we do it. Lord, forgive me of all the things I've done wrong and how I failed you. That's too generic. Where have I failed you, Father? Show me, dear God. What have I? I promise you, folks. You ask God the Father, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, to put His finger on things that displeased Him that day. He'll do it. He'll point out this and this and this and this. And you bow your head in humility and you say, dear God, I don't deserve it, but please, I'm asking you to forgive me. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry. And fellowship through the blood of Christ is maintained. Full joy, full fellowship. Sin hinders joy. But thank God, joy can be maintained because fellowship can be maintained if I will just live in a spirit of humility, confessing my sin as God brings it to my memory, my mind. So you just ask yourself this morning, when's the last time you had a good confession? I'll tell you what, I'll be transparent. You know, there are some times when my confession is not as thorough as it should be, and I have to go through a few days, and then, I hit one of those times where, it's lengthy and it's deep. There are tears and there's sadness, and God, forgive me. I always come out of that. Getting cleaned up. Getting washed. And it's maintained through the blood. The same blood that saves you is the blood that forgives you and keeps you clean. Full fellowship, full joy. What a blessed life. Truly, songwriter, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Oh, man. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. How are you doing this morning? In fellowship. In full joy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for listening ears. God, please now drive the message home to our hearts through the power of the work of the Holy Ghost of God who came to convince us of Bible truth. Lord, take the Bible truth and make it real to our hearts this morning. Help us, I pray. Oh, God, help us to walk in the light and not in darkness, to enjoy full fellowship with you and our joy be full. In fellowship with each other, we have a responsibility to keep our sins confessed. Just the way it is, I have a responsibility to keep my heart clean. So, Lord, help me to give the right attention to it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the message, the Spirit of God says something strictly to my heart this morning. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air as I close in just a moment? God bless you. Thank you. Yes, I have many, many hands. Would there be anybody here who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm even saved because my attitude towards sin is so careless. I'm just concerned about my salvation. Would you slip your hand? Let me pray for you this morning as we close. If you've been saved but not baptized, now's the time to come. How is it, Christian, with fellowship and full joy? What a fellowship. What a joy divine that comes from keeping our hearts clean, confessed, right. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing song of invitation. If you want to make the decision to be baptized, you come this morning or join the church, whatever that God puts on your heart, you obey the Lord this morning. Confession is a normal part of the Christian life. It's a normal process. It's taking time for it, being mindful of it, thoughtful about it.